Now we are back into the session again. Before we proceed, I'd like to ask Bob Hansen, board member, and Bill Tillman, legal counsel. Are you on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's Bob Hansen. I am on the line. Please proceed.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Now we're back to our agenda. I'd like to ask any parties making closer statement. I'll start with INAC.
Matnai Tsivatak, Ken Landa with Justice Canada. Mamyanak Tsivatak, I think it might be helpful if AEM and KIV-IA could have a few minutes before we reconvene to discuss a matter prior to our closing statements.
Dion?
Do you have any indication of how long you're asking the board for?
Ken Landa, Justice Canada. Mr. Chair, I hope that the conversation would be no more than 5 minutes, and then we should be able to reconvene.
Yeah, we take that, but nobody could disappear.
Matna, and thank you to everybody present for their understanding.
Thank you. Before we proceed, I would like to advise our parties that any broadcasting is present and may be recording the proceeding. If any parties has concerns with this, I ask that they make such concern known before we proceed. I would also like to remind parties that since the board cannot comment on pending matters, either by confirming or denying the accuracy of others' statement in the media, the board would appreciate it if our parties would refrain from any such comment that may imply a certain action or decision by the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Donaghy, on behalf of Agnico Eagle, we'd like to thank the board for its patience. There's an important discussion that we were trying to wrap up at the last moment, and the extra time did help. I think, Mr. Chairman, with the board's indulgence, it would assist the KIA and Diane if Agnico Eagle were allowed to make its closing statement first rather than last. If the chair and the board would be so willing, we would proceed, and then the others could just follow in order, and we would have our closing statement first, and that should assist the other parties that we were having that discussion with.
Thank you. Is there any objection from the board? No? Okay, go ahead, applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Larry Connell. For our closing remarks, I'd like to make them in two parts. I will speak to the summary of the key issues, and then I'm going to ask Eve Shirkus to provide an overall wrap-up on behalf of Agnico Eagle Mines. To summarize our position, I think we need to reaffirm or restate that AEM is requesting a 7-year license term. That's 2 years of construction, 2008-2009, followed by the first 5 years of operation. On the issue of security against reclamation, this is obviously a key issue. There seems to be consensus that the pragmatic approach is to agree to a two-stage model for security. Set the security for the first license term with the amount increasing as the disturbance and liability increases. That provides time to evaluate the cover thickness during this period by actually measuring the performance of test covers. And then we would re-estimate security towards the end of that license term with the information and the data we have derived during this first period. How the security should be split is directly an issue between the landowner, KA, and INAC, but it does have an impact on Agnico Eagle Mines Limited when the parties cannot agree. This results in the proponent being asked to put up more security than is required to fully fund the liability. This isn't fair to mining companies coming to Nunavut and is a disincentive to mining proceeding on IOL land. Is there possibly another way? One proposal or one possible way would be to allow the board to continue, not allow, but to have the board continue to make its decision on security as it was going to do anyways, but to allow the three parties, the KAA, INAC, and Agnico Eagle, time to pursue the concept of an environmental security agreement. In other words, give us the time that we'll come back in front of you if we are successful in reaching an agreement and ask to reopen that security issue if we are successful in finding a way to resolve this. We've heard the KA have indicated that this type of an agreement would be an acceptable approach, and we heard INAC say that such a method was not out of the question, just that time was needed to set up an agreeable mechanism. I'll leave that with the board for your consideration. The second issue I wanted to talk to was turbidity. This was a key issue that was left outstanding between our parties. AEM understands the importance of protecting the receiving environment water quality and recognizes that decreased water clarity, as measured by turbidity, may lead to reduced productivity in some cases. To that end, we have incorporated direct and indirect measures of primary productivity into the Aquatic Effects Monitoring Program to provide data on potential responses related to reduced water clarity or other stressors. While we agree with protecting the receiving environment from turbidity-related effects, we are proposing setting an objective rather than a standard for the following reasons. The CCME's own guideline for the protection of aquatic life from increased sediments, despite being based on a broad review of studies targeting effects to algae, zooplankton, and fish, do not include a turbidity-based guideline derived for the protection of primary productivity. The existing CCMA guideline is based on total suspended solids. AEM has agreed to meet TSS-based discharge standards intended to protect aquatic life. We will also strive to meet the objective of 10 NTU as proposed as a standard by EC. The Aquatic Environmental Monitoring Program, the monitoring under that, will address primary productivity at stations close to the proposed discharge zones. Significant changes in water clarity and or direct or indirect indicators of primary productivity will trigger appropriate management action. Turbidity-related changes would not be long-term, and conditions should improve substantially with appropriate mitigation. In summary, AEM believes that our proposal of having a turbidity objective coupled with the Aquatic Environmental Effects Monitoring Program will not result in significant impacts to the environment. The last area I'd like to talk to was the proposed sewage discharge standard. The standards that were attributed to Sepratec, the supplier of the sewage treatment plant, were actually taken from the recent Doris North water license. When Sepratec were asked what standard their plant would achieve, they looked to recent water licenses from the Nunavut Water Board in similar circumstances and gave us that number back. At the technical meeting, the parties discussed what standard should be set for this sewage treatment discharge. We all agreed, or I think there was consensus at that point, that what was really necessary was that we needed to be protective of the discharge to the environment. And so the consensus came to actually build upon the discharge from the stormwater pond and to set a standard there whenever that water was being discharged to the receiving environment. At that session, it was Environment Canada that proposed a 25 milligram per litre BOD and a 25 milligram per litre TSS at the discharge from the stormwater pond when we were discharging. And AEM agreed with that. The proposed tighter standard that's been suggested by INAC seems to be punitive, and that this standard was